We're doing Rav Chalap on the parasha. The parasha says, "V'lo tonu ishet amito, don't afflict your fellow man. V'yareta me'elokecha, and have fear of your God. Ki ani Hashem elokechem, for I am Hashem your God." We find that different creatures, it could be different animals, wildlife, they have this tendency, they have this nature to do damage, even if they don't benefit from it. There is something within the nature of creatures to be destructive, even when they get nothing out of it. And man also has this nature that man derives some kind of pleasure out of inflicting harm, even when he doesn't benefit from it. And just as Hashem created us, that deep down inside we have a tremendous affinity for that which is good and kind, so too we have within us this affinity for that which is evil. Man has both within him. Man connects in a unique way to the good just because it's good, but man also connects in a unique way to the evil just because it's evil, even when it's not to his benefit.
What's an example?
Bubble wrap.
What?
Being destructive for no reason.
All kinds of stuff. People go hunting for sport.
Well, it's an experience. No, it's not a...
Even though man has a hard time recognizing this force that acts within him, and man is desensitized to this part of his personality, but that's because it passes like a fleeting moment. There's a split second where it comes to the world, this tendency of man, and then it passes. But if a person really checks himself deep down inside, if a person really checks the nooks and crannies of his personality, he will find that it's a part of him. There's a part of him that likes to be destructive. There's a part of him that really connects to that which is evil, just like there's a part of him that really connects to that which is good. It's a part of how Hashem created us. If a person does not pay attention to his personality and his traits, so he can fool himself and say, I never intend to do harm. I never intend to do something wrong. My intentions are always for the good. I'm always trying to do things right. And that will cause a person to be even more destructive. Because if I'm not aware of that part of my personality, so then I'm not going to overcome it. A businessman once told me he was having problems with a certain worker who was one of his top workers. So the next time I met him, I asked him, how are things going? Were you able to work it out? He had come and we were discussing different angles, how to talk to that worker. I had suggested that maybe if he makes him a special business card and gives him specific titles, that might encourage the worker to feel like those things were his responsibilities. So I had different ideas, and I don't know which of them he tried. He didn't try, so we met once, and I asked him what happened. So he said to me, it's funny you ask, this morning I fired that worker. So I said, okay, I feel bad. It was a person in their 50s or 60s. The odds of their getting that type of job were not, the natural course of things. This person was now doomed to a more difficult life. He said to me, you know, it's interesting. I have a very hard time with myself. I said, why? He said, I had to fire him. He said, but it struck me how much I enjoyed. There's a split second of joy to inflict harm to someone else. He said, I hated myself after doing that because I could see that there was something in me, something animalistic, something vile about a pleasure. He said, of course I tried not to. Of course I tried to help him. But to see that part of who I am was striking to me. No, not because he didn't like him. He said because there's something in human nature that a person derives a sadistic pleasure from inflicting harm to someone else. So it struck me. I mean, when he said that to me, my first thought was, okay, now I know who I'm dealing with. It took me time to come to the recognition of what Rav Chalap says, that this person is just very attuned to their personality, and therefore they are well ahead in the challenge of becoming a better person. Meaning initially when they said it to me, my first thought was, oh boy, now I know what type of person he is. And only later did I force myself to face the fact that, no, it's not just him. There's an element of that within that you have to say, okay, let me recognize it, and then I could try to overcome it.
Also like you mentioned, like, split second.
Just on second. He was waiting first. Yes?
I have a question, because this thing made me think that the day of today, or something happened in my career, and I still don't know if I acted right. I was in a wreck for in the army, and someone came to me to ask me a favor. That one of my men would go with me to Germany to do some things. And I didn't have a uniform, so we couldn't find a uniform. But I saw his uniform, and I saw three stars. So I saw he also was a colonel. So the way he was talking to me was very demanding, you know, not asking a favor, but demanding. And at a certain point, and I looked at him closely, and I saw that he didn't have the honors badge. You know, it was not a colonel, it was a captain. And that moment, I was like a lion. I was like, you know, I would jump on him and get the pieces. But then in a split second, I thought, no, you can't do that. And this is what I'm wondering now. I gave him more than he asked me, because I was so disappointed in myself of this feeling. And so I still don't know, you do something eventually that maybe is not even good.
Right. It's a tough call. Right. Right. It's I once thought that our major mistakes in education stem from when we are acting out of impurity. In other words, if you know you have to do what's right in education, and the scenario you're describing sounds like an educational scenario, meaning why do parents make mistakes in educating their kids? Because sometimes their focus is, I want the kid to like me. Sometimes their focus is, I want the kid to respect me. Sometimes their focus is, I didn't spend enough time with the kid, I feel guilty, so I'm going to buy him things to make him happy. Meaning there's something impure, there's something that's tainted in the approach to the kid. If your goal is to do what's right and educate the kid right, so we all make mistakes, but most of the time, over the course of time, you're going to get it right. Sometimes you need to take counsel, sometimes you need to take advice, and sometimes you make mistakes. But sometimes, like you're saying, a person faults himself. I can tell you numerous times that after being tough with a kid, I was devastated for the rest of the day. Devastated. The kid might have been hurt for 10 minutes. I couldn't function. And that's I'm not even sure it's a human weakness. It could be just a part of human nature. I'm saying, I've had times where my wife said, what are you doing? I said, I can't function. You guys are laughing. I remember when my mother told me this when we had our first kid. She said to me, you know, there were times I punished you that 10 minutes later you were playing happy and I was destroyed for the rest of the day. And I thought to myself, women. I thought to myself, that's a mother, okay? I've been there. Okay, the question is, do we act out of that? And sometimes we have no choice. I mean, sometimes we have to act, but it's definitely a challenge. And sometimes, I'm just saying that the question of what's right for me in educating the child is a complicated one. Meaning, sometimes a child deserves to be yelled at. But you're yelling because you want to yell, not because the child deserves to be yelled at. It's very hard to get it right when you're not doing it for the right reason. You might be able to.
This is like your story when the guy fires someone who had cause, he deserved to be fired. But the guy feels so guilty about enjoying the process. And then he overcompensates by probably giving the guy a fantastic reference, so he goes out and repeats the same mistakes to the next guy. You know,
that's what I'm saying. That's where we have to be careful. Not to overcompensate. Yeah, that's the right word. Yeah.
So you mentioned like the split second, like somehow you know, person can have a split second of joy of this evil thing. So I think that a lot of times that a person dwells in a split second and he like be like expanded and become more than a split second. You can take over his personality and you can be this powerful.
Agreed. That goes back to what we discussed last night. That much of personality development we saw in Rav Kook is taking a moment and expanding it. You try to seize that moment. So Rav Kook spoke about the positive, where when a person experiences equilibrium, a person should try to hold on to that equilibrium, expand it. Rav Kook had said, there are certain parts of our personality that can only be developed through experience. When you get there, you try to hold on to it. You try to expand the moment, to extend its impact. Coming back to Rav Chala, and I agree with what you're saying. I'm saying sometimes to harp on it can be destructive to the person, for sure. The way to get rid of this, says Rav Chala, there's only one advice, says Rav Chala, and that is being a God-fearing person. When one really fears his creator, when a person lives his life and he's in awe of his creator, so then his anything about his personality that is impure straightens out. And any trait that is wrong, whichever trait it is, can be straightened out through that, through being a God-fearing person. As we see in ourselves, there are moments of fear where nothing else is relevant. That's the story of the guy who was a faithful chassid, and he comes to the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I have this problem and that problem, and my kids are driving me crazy, and my wife doesn't stop yelling at me, and I can't pay my debts, and my job is so hard, and my sheep sometimes seem sick, and even when they're not sick, they don't produce so much milk, and he's got a long list of complaints. So he finishes his long list of complaints to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe looks at him and he says, Chaim, I bless you. You should have a lot of problems in your life. So he walks out of the Rebbe and he says to the Gabbai, what did I say wrong? Why did the Rebbe give me such a blessing? What happened there? Did he give me a curse? So the Gabbai said, no, I'll explain it to you. So long as life is normal, you have a lot of little problems. The kids are disrespectful. The wife is yelling. The sheep don't give milk. Those are all little problems. That's because you don't have any serious problems. If you had any one major problem, you wouldn't notice anything else. A person whose health is at risk is not thinking about anything else. They're thinking, am I going to live tomorrow? They're thinking about, how will life work with this problem? How will my family manage now that this is the case? When there's one major problem, everything else is irrelevant. The Rebbe blessed you, you should have a lot of little problems. That's life. Little problems are a blessing. If you could be worried about your little problems, then you're having a very blessed life. Says Rav Chalap, if there's a real fear of heaven, then other things fall by the wayside. That focus of getting it right, of doing what Hashem wants, that helps a person overcome whatever weaknesses they have in their personality. It's a panacea, it's a cure-all. Yes?
You did say a story once where someone gave you a blessing that you should have as much sorrow as you could manage.
Right.
And this is the same idea where it's not a blessing. You don't bless people that way.
Okay. I don't know the Rebbe's name, so you can't ask him. So now Rav Chalap comes back to the point. He had begun by saying, we see in nature that creatures have a tendency to want to be destructive. He said, we have that within ourselves. It comes from an affinity that we have. Just as we have a tremendous affinity within us for that which is pure good, so too there's this element within us that's an affinity for that which is pure evil. And Rav Chalap says, when a person's cognizant of that, if he can find that in himself, then he can overcome it. And the cure for it, he said, is the fear of heaven. Zehu, says Rav Chalap, that is okay, I'll give an example of this, just because I was trying to think of what an example of this would be. An example of this is sometimes, I gave the example of firing a person. Well, sometimes the saying something hurtful to someone. You've convinced yourself you have to. But at that moment when a person says something hurtful, that's where a person can find this in their personality. As bad as a person feels, he might find himself for a split second feeling good, that he said something that hurt someone else. So that, Zeu v'lo tonui shetamito v'yareta me'elokecha. Says Rav Chalap, the pasuk says, don't hurt your fellow man, and fear Hashem your God. Hainu, shal yedei ze shetitmalu v'yira v'pachad mipnei Hashem ve'oz v'adar gonor. Rav Chalap says, when the Torah told us, don't afflict your fellow man, what the Torah was telling us is this commandment. There might be something within you, not there might be, there is something within us that says, I connect to the idea of hurting someone else. There's a sadistic element to a person's personality. Said the Torah, don't hurt your fellow man. And be a God-fearing person. Where are the two connected? You want to know how a person can overcome that sadistic tendency within? When a person is a God-fearing person and his focus is, what does Hashem want of me? That's how we can straighten out that part of his personality. But when a person has the awe of Hashem, of his might, of his glory, then a person can annul all the bad traits. And then every part of a person's personality will really be for the good and for the blessing.
Does this God-fearing person, does it mean in his mind to be like free of God-fearing, knowing that God's present at all times, etc.? Or does it mean he tries to follow what's the Torah?
The former.